Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, joining us on the line, All-Star Weekend's over. Sixers get back together, I think, tomorrow. The stretch run begins on Thursday.
Yeah,
that's
awful.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's terrible. So many questions for that. We bring in an expert. Writes to Ricky Sanchez, president, program director here at WIP. Spike Eskin, good morning, Spike.
Get it right, John. It is the Ricky Sanchez Organization is what Angelo called it.
So you
have to treat it as if we're some sort of crime family or something.
Well, Spike, I got to start with getting your opinion on something that transpired All-Star Weekend involving Russell Westbrook and Joel Embiid. When asked about being teammates for the All-Star game, Westbrook replied, "Next question." When Embiid was asked, Joel went on at length about how it'll be fun and there's no issues with it whatsoever. And then we saw the game where Westbrook refused to sit next to Embiid on the bench. Your thoughts?
I love it. I mean, all we do is complain that the players are too friendly anymore. I sort of like that somebody hates Embiid so much that he won't even sit next to him. I like that. That is the sort of rivalry stuff that doesn't exist as much anymore. I wish that Westbrook was in the Eastern Conference so we could see the games more. I enjoy it. And Westbrook is obviously a child and has been that way, and that's why Kevin Durant left him, and that's why he's never going to win a championship there. So I enjoy the fact that Westbrook hates Embiid that much.
I could not agree more. 24 games remaining, yet Sixers fans are still having a hard time looking past that Celtics loss last week. Are you having the same problem?
Yeah, I think we all should. I mean, they're as much as they've improved this year, they're on pace for the exact same number of wins as they had last year, 52, right? So the biggest thing that they need to do is to be able to get through the top teams in the East, one of those being Boston, specifically Boston because of what happened last year. And though the game was, was a real close game down the stretch, if they cannot figure out a way to beat them. And the other issue is that it was the same problems that haunted them in the playoffs last year that haunted them this time. Embiid had trouble with Horford. Ben Simmons didn't do much in the half court, and they hunted J.J. Redick every time he was on the floor. So, you can change the other guys as much as you want, but if nothing changes with Embiid and Simmons, I think they're going to have a tough time getting past them in the playoffs.
Well, let's assume they meet again in the playoffs, which every Sixers fan is dreading but almost sees it as a foregone conclusion that it's going to happen. If the same situations present themselves where Horford can almost neutralize Embiid for three quarters and Simmons can't penetrate and they expose the mismatch of J.J. Redick, who becomes the most important player? Is it Jimmy Butler or Tobias Harris?
Well, I think if those things happen, we're cooked. So I don't think, Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler have combined for two playoff series wins in 14 years of career so far.
Yeah.
So if we're relying on Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler, while I'm sure they can both play well, they can both have great games, I think that the ship has sailed. If Embiid is neutralized by Horford and Simmons is neutralized by the Celtics, I think we're stuck. But that said, I think the more important of those two guys will be Butler, simply because he's more of a creator and a ball handler to do a little more for everyone else than Harris can. Harris is more of a straight scorer, and I think if you were to move Simmons off ball and let Butler be the primary initiator, he's got a better chance of doing that than Harris does.
Now, looking at the head coach now, and we've all given him a pass for a long time for obvious reasons, and we hope the best for the future and hope things he can figure things out and manage rotations properly and know when the sub guy's out, and we can have immense success here. Having said that, two specific questions I have for you when it comes to Brett Brown. One, does he need to be more authoritative with Joel Embiid?
Are you're talking about like jumping into the crowd and Joe sort of does whatever he wants to
maybe
do?
Maybe contain him with that, but at the same time,
the three pointers.
Like when Joel is like giving up against Horford about. and he's posting up eight threes from the top of the key, does Brett have to jump in and say, Joel, listen, I know that Al's, you know, doing a good job with you, but you have to get in the post. Say things like that.
Well, I just, like, if it was as easy as telling these guys, just do it, like, then you should tell them to make all the shots, too, and make sure the other team doesn't score. I don't know that we're not doing that. The NBA, more than any other league, is a players' league, and they mostly do what they want. Mm-hmm. I think Embiid has improved, like, pretty immeasurably over the last couple of years and gotten better. I don't think you can go back unless you're not counting, you know, Michael Jordan. You know, LeBron had the Celtics to go through, and they got right into his head. And then he left, you know, left Cleveland, got to Miami, and then the Mavericks got into his head. Mm-hmm. And he's the second or third greatest player of all time. So I don't know if it's as simple as Brett going, Joel, you know, be better. I don't know that he's not doing that. So, you know, every coach has his style. Brett is probably more similar to Doug Peterson than he is to Bill Belichick in terms of, you know, Brett is not an authoritative, you know, pound his fist sort of guy like Doug is. And I think that has its pluses and its minuses. But ultimately, I don't think it's up to Brett to tell Joel that he's got to be better than Al Horford. If
right,
he can't,
right.
then that's on Joel, I think.
Now, one other question with Brett, and on its surface, I don't understand. Now, with the acquisition of Tobias Harris came Boban, and Boban has already become a fan favorite. He's a really nice guy. He loves to joke around. Having said all that, on the court, he is very limited in his anywhere from 10 to 16 minutes he may get on a given night. What are your thoughts on the need to see Jonah Bolden more?
Well, I agree with you in that I think they do, but to depend on Jonah Bolden, who is a rookie and has shown flashes, but pretty limited. I mean, I think I remember one game. It seemed like he had 5 fouls and he played about 7 minutes. So
it's a good ratio.
Yeah, when we're deciding between Boban, who has his pluses and his minuses, but defensively has real trouble when the other team is small, and Bolden, who again has had nice minutes, but is a second round pick who is a rookie who has shown flashes, I think it's a tough decision to make. I don't blame Brown for making sure that Boban is what he is in front of his eyes, mm-hmm. you know, but I think when it comes down to it, I think when we get into the playoffs that we will see more of Bolden at five. I think you could see even Ben Simmons or Tobias Harris, depending on who the other team is, at the center spot, and I think we'll see a lot less Boban unless they're going up against, you know, Marcus Gasol. You could play Boban against a little, I guess, but I don't think there's a ton of teams in the Eastern Conference who are going to go. I think even the Bucks, when you're playing against Brook Lopez, you could probably stick Boban out there, but both those guys can shoot from three too. So
yeah.
I can't imagine we'll see more than 5 or 6 minutes a game from Boban in the playoffs.
Spike Eskin joining us this morning, as he will every Monday morning at 7 a.m. for the rest of the 76ers season.
What?
We got a problem with that, Al?
Al, you were in the meeting.
Yeah, he
was. Maybe Al was at my office waiting to ask me stuff like he said.
Al said he had to pound on your door, which is never closed.
Oh, he's an open door policy.
Yeah, total lie.
Spike, in these final 24 games, keeping players healthy, lining up the ideal matchup for the playoffs becomes a bit of a focus. Who, in your opinion, gives the Sixers their best possible matchup, and who is the worst?
Oh, man. And are we only talking about the real contenders? Because I'd obviously rather play the Nets or Orlando or whoever those bottom three teams are, I think, are the best. The worst possible matchup is the Celtics in the Eastern Conference.
Really? We're aware of that.
Yeah.
The case.
I would rather play any of those other teams than the Celtics. And of the really good teams, you know, Indiana not having Oladipo, I think, would be the prime of those teams. And I still don't totally buy Toronto in the playoffs.
Really?
I think, Kawhi Leonard is, unless he's going to stay there, which I don't think anybody really thinks he's going to stay there, that I just think the odds of him going all in on a playoff run for a team that he's not going to be on next year, he just missed a whole year because he didn't want to be on a team. I just I can't imagine he hasn't played back-to-backs all
year.
But he
didn't like them. Is there any thought that he doesn't like the people in Toronto? I mean, even if he's not going to sign there long-term.
Well, I mean, the him and Kyle Lowry have been weird all year. Lowry has been sort of cold to him all year and hasn't been. I would not put my money. That is a team that is based pretty much wholly around depth. And that matters a little bit less when you get to the playoffs and you shorten up to 8 or 9 guys. I wouldn't put my money on Kawhi in that place. So I would say that the Celtics I'd be worried about the most, then the Bucks, then the Raptors, then the Pacers.
You're willing to face an Orlando team with Markelle Fultz on the bench?
Oh, God. I hope he's with them when they visit in March.
Well, the coaches over there, I heard, push players really, really hard. That's what Markelle says. So you never know.
Two more questions for you, Spike. Outside of Joel Embiid, who is the most important player on this Sixers roster for them to go as deep as possible this season?
Simmons. I don't even think it's close. I think they will go as far as those two guys take them. I think, Butler has had moments. Tobias Harris has had moments, but neither of them have the ceiling that Simmons does. I mean, I think we've seen as good as Harris and Butler will be in their careers, and we haven't even come close to seeing what Simmons can do. So I think it is Simmons right after Embiid.
Now, you've been you've had a hard stance on this for a very long time, but I'm curious if your opinion bends slightly from week to week. Would you re-sign Jimmy Butler?
Well, no, but if,
really, did you even have to ask Mike that? Do you follow him on Twitter?
I think when you have so many guys in the starting lineup whose best asset is that they are offensive players, there's diminishing returns when you get past having two or three of those guys. And the Sixers now have five of those guys. And Butler is the most apt to not being happy with that. And I also think it's just not a great allocation of resources. When we're talking about Jonah Bolden or Boban Marjanovic being the key backup to Joel Embiid and maybe some of the resources that you're spending on an offensive player that you don't really need can go on two or three guys. Like if they were to get him for 3 years, I think that is acceptable. And I would not object as much as I do to the 4 or 5 years that they're probably going to need him. But I do think overall that the resources are better allocated to other players than $38 million to Jimmy Butler.
I could not agree more. 3 years is the max I would go with Jimmy Butler as well. Spike Essen writes to Ricky Sanchez, program director here at WIP. Spike, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.